passage comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A good morning to you. It is so good to worship the Lord, and a warm welcome to you all, both in person and online. Last week, we began a sermon series on the starting point of God's mission, being the family. Let me look at my notes. With this vision, it gives parents the ability to live out the mission and actually the knowledge, the call, to live out God's mission of evangelism and discipleship in the home. And if we think about this as parents, isn't it kind of humbling, right? This family discipleship vision. Of course it's humbling, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've messed up in so many ways. I mean, we remember our mistakes. We realize our fears. We feel our inadequacy. But this humbling is really a grace, so that we can come to the end of ourselves and look to the Lord for help. That even with our mistakes, even with our fear, even with our inadequacy, that we can remember the gospel, that the gospel explains to us that we stand upon solid rock, that even when we stumble and we fall, we can get back up, and that we can walk, that there's gospel power to reclaim all of that which was lost in the past, right? There's gospel power to redeem all of that which was evil. There's gospel power to rebuild all of that which was broken. And all of this is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Elizabeth Elliot writes this: God knows the feelings of discouragement, inadequacy, and failure which conscientious parents feel. But it was his idea to make them parents and to give them this particular set of children. He knew they would not do a perfect job. He is father to the parents and promises every kind of help they need. He stands beside them in every situation, ready to give wisdom as needed and grace to help in time of need, if only they will turn to him and ask for it. I pray that as parents, we will humble ourselves, see the reality of our situation, and turn to our gracious Lord and ask him for wisdom and strength to lead the home. As parents, let it be said, we need Jesus. And even if you're single and you're sitting here, you're a young person without family, I want to encourage you again that this sermon series is especially for you. It's precisely that moment before you have a family that you can think about and consider what the scripture says about the family. Should the Lord lead you in the future to start a home, then you'll be prepared for it. And even if the Lord doesn't, as he'll lead many not to start a family, not to get married, nevertheless, you'll still be equipped to talk with others who have families about what the scripture says about it. Last week, we examined Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 regarding this family discipleship vision. This morning, what I would like to do is just build upon that same passage as we read it again, a very important passage. And I want us to think about the application. I want us to consider the family discipleship practice. And I'm going to draw from a book called Family Discipleship a Lot, written by Matt Chandler and Adam Griffith. I encourage you to purchase this book and to read it for yourself. So this morning, let's consider family discipleship practice from Deuteronomy 4, 6, 4 through 9 with 3 points. First, time. Second, moments. And third, milestone. The first, time. Last week, we learned that parents are to be disciples. Disciples are those who learn about and follow the Lord. How do we follow the Lord? Well, we follow him according to his commands, according to his law. And we learned last week about the Shema. The Shema encapsulates all of the law and the prophets. And it is this, to love God in essence. It is to love God with everything, heart, soul, and strength. And Jesus reiterates this. There's a connection with the Old and New Testament that Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Well, he quotes the Shema. And he says, if you love me, you're going to obey me, which goes into the understanding of the Shema, that it assumes obedience, that to hear and not to obey is not to hear. So parents are to teach God's word and live it out before their children. And last week, I encouraged parents that we allow our children to get a realistic view of discipleship. That on the one hand, we want to uphold the standard of God's word. God's word is perfect. We uphold it. Though on the other hand, we want to show and give a glimpse of the struggle in obeying it. That the picture of discipleship is not necessarily a victorious warrior. It can be at times. Of course, we're victorious at times. But more often than not, the picture of discipleship is of a wounded struggler, that we depend on the victory of Jesus Christ as we march onward, as we stumble, as we fall. We provide a model for our children of confession and repentance. We provide a model of dependence upon the Lord. We provide a model for them to deal with discouragement, that over and over we want to point them to Jesus Christ according to the gospel. So practically, how can we do this with our children? Well, we need time. I want you to remember the timestamps in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You see, Chandler and Griffin, in their book, they define time as intentional moments of teaching, whether it's family worship, whether it's Bible study, whether it's Bible story time. They're consistent teaching times where parents gather the children around and where we teach the Word of God. And there's two aspects that are important to this. First is rhythm. Rhythm simply states the steadied commitment of consistency. And this is so important. It's within our text, but we see this principle through all of life, that if you want to exercise, you'll glean no progress if you exercise only once every few months. It's not going to work. If you want the benefits of exercise, we need the steadied commitment of consistency. And family discipleship is no different. Whether we meet for 10 minutes or for an hour, it doesn't matter. What's important is the steadied consistency, the rhythm. But it's not only rhythm, there's intentionality. Intentionality is the studied design of prepared planning of those times. You see, when you want to build a house, you need to have a blueprint. We don't just stumble upon building a house. It has to be thoughtfully planned out. So the time that Chandler and Griffin envision is planned time, prepared time, time that is steadied with a commitment to consistency. And you know what? If we think about our life in our day and age, this is so important. Why? Because we're so busy. Life is so busy. What would happen if someone spent money indiscriminately without a budget? Often people like that will run out of money. What will happen if a family doesn't take careful planning with steady commitment to allocate time? We're going to run out of time. We're never going to have time for family discipleship. So therefore, we have to be intentional with the rhythm of family discipleship. The basic formula for time and this planned and committed consistency, it follows the pattern that everyone in this room would recognize. It's about scripture, it's about sharing, it's about song, and it's about prayer. This committed time of family discipleship that's steadied, consistent, planned, it consists of that rubric, scripture, sharing, singing, and prayer. So what are some ideas for daily family discipleship time ideas? Daily, things we do daily that we want to leverage for family discipleship. Well, what about family meals? What about bedtime routine? What about the family commute? Things that we can carry out throughout the day in a secular way with no manner of scripture or sharing or prayer or song. But how good it is, what an opportunity for a family meal that we are intentional. It's already in our schedule that we're going to plan. We're going to talk about scripture. We're going to go around and share about it. We're going to spend some time praying and even singing, right? When was the last time for a family meal we thought about leveraging it for family discipleship? What about bedtime routine? Everyone has a bedtime routine that parents can come to their kids for the few minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however the amount of time. The amount of time is really not that important, but the consistency and the plannedness of it, that we talk to our children about the scriptures, that we ask them to open their heart, that we can interact with them and build relationship. So these are daily family discipleship time ideas, family time, family meals, bedtime routine, family commute. What about weekly family discipleship time ideas? What about family night? It can be a movie night, a game night, a restaurant night, like weekly, right? Special times that we have family fellowship. We can do these times just having fun and laughter, or we can have intention underneath that we want to have fun, enjoy, laugh, but we want to talk about the scriptures. We want to open our heart. We want to spend some time worshiping the Lord. We want to spend some time praying, right? Family night's a tremendous opportunity. Or a weekly family discipleship time idea can be family Bible study, family devotions, family worship, that once a week we're going to put this in the schedule and we're going to set this aside so that as a family we can convene, and it doesn't have to be long. In fact, make it short, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, start out there and just get everyone together. We're going to prioritize scripture, sharing, prayer, and song. Even small group participation, or whatever weekly family tradition you have, whatever family tradition that's within the rhythm of your household, whatever it is, you can leverage it for family discipleship, where you infuse that rubric, that basic framework of family discipleship within that time. And finally, monthly family discipleship time ideas, a service opportunity once a month that you plan. For example, CCC is a great opportunity. Going over to a neighbor's for housework, getting involved like in the welcoming ministry at church with the whole family, like once a month engaging your whole family to serve. Or once a month having one-to-one time with your children, one-to-one. one parent with one child, once a month, a special time, doing something the child would like, doing something that would open their heart, and that you can interact regarding the scriptures. You can ask them to share as you share the drama and the joys of life, and that you can sing songs together and really pray together. And finally, just neighborhood fellowship, having neighborhood friends, family over so that the kids can witness this practice of hospitality and of evangelism. If some are not believers, that you can show conversation of care and of intention to point them to Jesus Christ, that the children witness this. Brothers and sisters, my dear parents here this morning, consider what takes the most time in your family and how you can prioritize family discipleship time with the rhythm and the intentionality. So consider that time. But it's not only time, there are moments. Moments are what Chandler and Griffin talk about. They're spontaneous. We don't plan for them. They just happen, and they're very important for family discipleship. And what's important for this is what we see in our text in verses 8 through 9. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Remember us going over these. It's really a metaphor of having the Word of God so embedded in your mind that it's a lens. It's a biblical worldview through which it influences all of our actions wherever we go, whether at home or in the community at the gate. A biblical worldview is assumed for the leveraging of moments for family discipleship. Why is that? Because you know what? Life happens. As life unfolds, no matter what happens, as parents with our biblical worldview, we are able to discern through the lens of Scripture whatever happens, as the gospel is relevant for all of life, whatever occurrence, we're able to communicate and to relate to our children, teaching about God and about themselves. You see, moments pertain to two aspects of teaching: who God is and the character of your child. Now, what's important for moments is the relationship of parent and child. To have effective moments, we have to have intimate relationships with parent and child. And relationships are so vital. We can't influence apart from relationships. Jesus shows us the way with his disciples. Jesus spent time with them. Relationships are necessary for discipleship so we can influence for Jesus Christ. And what's interesting with families and parent and child relationships are children are different. One child is not identical to the other unless they're identical twins. And therefore, how a parent builds relationship with a child is respective to the child. And even as I think about my children, I realize how different they are. We have to be with them, but two aspects of building relationship is thinking about their disposition and their interests. Let me give you an example. For example, Karsten, my son. I love spending time with him, but when I think about his disposition, what comes to mind, one facet of it is concrete communication. He loves small talk. He loves middle talk. He loves big talk. He loves all talk. In fact, the more he talks, the more energized he gets. Conversely, the more I talk, the more drained I get. And you know what? I mentioned one aspect of his interest. He loves animals. Can you imagine if I went to him to build relationship? And you know what? This goes back to our time, planned time, right? My one-to-one with him, I'm like, Karsten, you know what? We're gonna go bird watching. I know his response. Many people would say bird watching. That's like the boringest thing I can hear. He would jump with glee. He'll be so excited. And he will say, I need to get my bird watching book. He has a book with 1,000 species of birds, and he's going to talk about all the birds we're going to come in contact with as we go hiking. What a platform it is to know about God and himself, obviously, creation. I'm able to talk with him about the creator-creation distinction, talk about stewardship, not only of the environment, but of our talents and treasures and times. And when he's on this hike, his heart is going to be so open. What an opportunity for me to ask him, Karsten, what's some drama you're going through? What's something heavy in your life? I'm able to share with him. And we're able to build relationship, you see, that forms a basis for future interaction regarding moments. Now, let me just give you a contrast with my other child, Karis. I mean, she would hate bird watching. If I think about her disposition, it's not concrete communication. For her, it's abstract reflection. With her, she can be sitting down and she's always creating. She's always building something. She's always writing. She's always painting. She's always doing something. And then when the kids go out and play, Karsten will be with one of us talking up a storm. Karis will be walking around thinking to herself. I'm like, that's interesting. What's one of her interests? Chocolate. With Karis, what I can do is I'm like, Karis, let's get a hot fudge sundae, and we're going to sit at a table, and we're just going to sit there quietly. I'm going to be thinking. She's going to be thinking. It's going to be very relaxing. Then all of a sudden, I know what she's going to do. She'll ask me a question of what she did regarding one of her Bible readings. We're going through the kids are going through the book of Revelation, and she said to me, she asked me this question. She goes, Dad, if Satan knows who God is, why would he rebel against him? And I thought to myself, that is such a good question. And I looked at her and I said, Karis, have you ever knew something was wrong and you did it anyways? You see, on the one hand, when she looked at Satan, it seemed so unreasonable. Why would Satan rebel against God when he knows how strong it is? But when I asked her that question, did you know something was wrong but you did it anyway? She goes, oh, yeah. And we had a great discussion about the root of all sin, which is pride. That pride blinds us, that Satan tempted Adam and Eve with pride, and they were blinded to the word of God. They were blinded by God himself. They were just so enraptured by this thought that they can be like God. And we taught this great discussion about how irrational sin is, that we'd actually give ourselves to something that would enslave us further and that would not bring glory to the one who deserves it. You see, my kids are different. Our kids are different. In fact, Karsten hates chocolate, and we have to understand each of our children. How do we build relationships with them so that we can have a basis to interact with them regarding moments? What are some circumstances that we can teach God's character and about their character? Truly any circumstance. All of life pertains to the gospel. But let me give you some examples. When your child is angry, sad, or afraid, what a powerful moment to talk about who God is and who they are. When you have something to celebrate, when you see something upsetting, when you messed up and want to apologize, when you see something beautiful, when you see sinful pride within your kids, or when your children are not getting along, what an opportunity, not just to discipline them in any way, not just to interact with them just with yelling, but you can build family discipleship as you consider the moments before you. Parents, let us be ready for moments with our children and teach about the Lord and who they are from our biblical worldview. So we have time, we have moments, and finally we have milestones. Milestones for Chandler and Griffin are just super significant family discipleship time and family discipleship moments. Milestones are just super significant experiences like birthdays or marriage anniversaries or awards or holidays. Super significant experiences that can be leveraged for family discipleship. In 1 Samuel 7:12, Samuel places a large stone in a valley. And this stone is called Ebenezer, stone of help. It commemorated the Lord bringing great victory for the people of God. But just within a generation, in 1 Samuel 8, the people cried out for a king, just like the other nations. and they forgot about the Lord. You see, milestones are not just one moment in time observations, but they're reiterative over and over. The human heart, our hearts are so weak. We need time, moments, milestones, again and again to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. So what are milestones? They don't have to be new events, but current ones for family discipleship. Let me give the obvious ones. Annual calendar events, the gratitude of Thanksgiving, that when Thanksgiving comes, we don't just follow the commercials, but we want to give a biblical account of Thanksgiving and its place in a disciple's heart. Anticipation and need of Advent, generosity at Christmas, resolution at New Year. That it's not just about resolutions of what we want, but a framework of time and the passing of it. And we want to live for the glory of God. Do we see that these annual events can be great opportunity for family discipleship? What about the sacrifice and suffering of Lent? What about the gospel of God's victory over sin and death at Easter? All of these, do we allow the holidays just to pass by? Or do we really leverage them and really use them and really put them in a context of discipleship so that every time these holidays come, all of our words of the past are rekindled and reminded for our children to be reminded of the faithfulness of God according to Scripture? What about special events like birthdays, baptism, and confirmation? That for birthdays, we can have big celebrations and have friends over and great celebration and words and cards and presents. But what about spiritual birthdays? That baptism and confirmation can be just as big as a remembrance of the gospel and the grace of the Lord. You see, milestones don't have to be only encouraging times, but also discouraging times. So many of them, let me point out one. What about a death of a loved one? That we're able to talk about the brevity of life, the fact that everyone dies, and the truth of the gospel that death has been conquered, that we want to remember loved ones who have passed on. What about family adventures, a family mission trip, family camping retreat? What about a family vacation? Not just in any ordinary vacation, but a vacation that's intentioned with the purpose, leverage for family discipleship, or even what Pastor James mentioned, perhaps foregoing family vacation to visit a missionary. One more example, what about graduations and accomplishments that we can tie it together with the goodness of truth that we find from the Word of God? Brothers and sisters, we have milestones that we can really leverage based on Scripture to communicate to our children the greatness and faithfulness and goodness of God. I pray that we will consider as parents the time, the moments, the milestones. That my prayer is that we return to discipleship in our homes, that we want to bring glory to God and live out the good of our children that reaches out to our neighbors and ultimately the world and the glory of God. Let's consider these things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the reminder for parents to take responsibility to raise children in you. Father, we confess to you our weakness, our fear, our mistakes, our inadequacy. Lord, we hold on to the promise that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we just pray for our families. Lord, will be a place where you reign, where the faith is passed to the next generation. Not because we're able, not because we're strong, but we show forth the glories of Christ and the power of the gospel, that your Spirit will work powerfully. Lord, we look around us and we look in the world and a lot of fledgling and difficulty and hardship, but we pray, Father, according to your word, won't you allow our families to prosper as our minds are set upon you and as Christ takes hold of us, that we may go and show forth the light and be salt to the world that needs Jesus. Help us, Lord. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.